All right, we'll turn to Joshua, the first chapter, and read verses 1 through 5 of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, the idea is, what does this change represent? What is different here? As it comes to me, as I think and pray about it, what is different is that Israel prior to this was in a survival mode. They were in a survival mode. They were learning not to complain about the leadership. They were learning not to complain about lack of food. They were learning when the serpent went up on the pole to do what God said and be healed. They received the law while they were in the wilderness. And so they learned the moral commandments of the Lord. They received the directions for the tabernacle and the priesthood and the offerings. All that was learned. This was all having to do with their personal survival before God while they were in the wilderness. But this change here, when Moses died, now all of a sudden the enemy becomes objective. It's no longer their personal learning about the Lord and sacrifices. Now there's an enemy out there that is not their own selves. It's not a case of survival now, it's a case of battle. Now, how many see that? Do you see the difference there? In the wilderness, that while there were skirmishes, their main problem was keeping their own program together. Now they have come to the place that God promised in the beginning, and there's an enemy out there that needs to be conquered if they're going to inherit what God has for them. Now, what God is talking to us about this morning is preparation for war, it's already been mentioned, going forward. Now, I realize that some of us in the church are still somewhat in a survival mode, and you're still coming to terms with your own situation. Shall I serve the Lord? How intensely shall I serve the Lord? Have I got it made? Do I wait now to go to heaven? Where am I? But there will be others here, and I hope particularly the young people that will be divested enough of their own internal problems that they can address themselves to where God is going. I hope that is clear to you. This was really, the prophecy this morning is really a national prophecy, and what I'm saying this morning really is talking to the whole body of Christ, and I'm sure there's other ministers in other places that are saying the same thing. But I can't count on that, so I have to be vehement and intense in what I say. And hopefully, because God has got to awaken His church. They don't know it, but the times, they are changing. We are changing from what we've had in the past. And many will not be able to cope with this. They'll just float on until they die. But there will be people who will go on with God. And you can be among those people, but you'll have to take hold of yourself and really give it all you've got. I'm encouraged. My goal was to have 10,000 visits a month on the internet. That's been my goal for some time. We're over that this month already, and the month isn't even finished. We're going to go over 11,000 and probably hit about 100 visits, and probably about 115,000 hits this month, and plus the 670 that we have in the daily email, plus the books that go out to the third world countries that Eddie sets out, plus the books that are sold or sent out by Audrey and the audio tapes and the videotapes. So this is really a problem for the whole body of Christ, where we are, and the change in understanding and all the things that are included here. But again, let me say the difference. Moses is dead. Joshua's going on. All right, Jesus is Moses. Jesus is Joshua. Jesus is Moses as a shepherd. Jesus is Joshua as a commander in chief. But prior to this, it's been a shepherd taking care of his sheep and helping them get adjusted to the fact that they're no longer in the world, but they belong to the kingdom of God. Now, we have before us the goal that God is after. The church hasn't been there, been here before. I'm sure there's distinguished Christians in time past that have pressed past where the church has been, but now God is ready to move his church past from that which is familiar. So when you notice here that the goal is set forth here, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon. That's from the south up to the north, what today is now Syria, and from the great river, the Euphrates River, all the Hittite country to the Great Sea on the west, which is the Mediterranean. So when you cross east of the Jordan, the Mediterranean is west of the Jordan. So Israel today is being squashed in a little area between where the Palestinians are, who are in the west bank of the Jordan, between them and the Mediterranean Sea. It doesn't give them much breathing room. But here their territory was actually supposed to be not only west of the Jordan, but east of the Jordan, what today is comprises the breakup of the Ottoman Empire. A lot of it would be Jordan, Saudi Arabia, maybe Kuwait. I don't have a map here, so I don't know. But that's, they are east of the Jordan. Well, all that was supposed to be Israel. But they didn't take it. See, they compromised. When they got just so far, they were sick and tired of fighting, and they wanted to settle down and quit the battle. And they are, that whole thing that was played out in God thousands of years ago is for our benefit. And God is saying, see what happens when you don't do what I said. See what happens when you compromise. See what happens when you let up and just try to be a normal person under your vine and your fig tree. See what happens. He said, I told you that you would end up worshiping their gods. That's exactly what happened until finally Israel was carried away into Assyria and Babylon. Now, since 1948, they've been coming back to their land, and it's just one thing after another, because it was never done right in the first place. And as it says in 1 Corinthians, those things that happened to them happened to us for an example. There can be no compromise. Now, as far as the land of promise is concerned, would you heist up that one I gave you this morning? I want you to be clear, and I would like, can you scroll down and get the rest of it? There's five things here. And I want the young people to memorize these five. John, where is he? I want the young people, Steph, to memorize these five. This is the land of promise. This is where we're going. We haven't been here before. This is objective. This is not our survival. This is the kingdom. And we start with number one. You can say it with me. Untroubled rest in God's person and will. That's the first thing. Now, I want these five memorized. All right. Secondly, change in our personality. Third, transformation of our body. Fourth, inheriting the nations and the farthest reaches of the earth. And fifth, inheriting all that God makes new in Christ. Now, I suppose the four and five could be one, and yet I didn't put them as one because the fourth one is in the second Psalm where God's invited Jesus to pray for the nations and the farthest reaches of the earth as his inheritance. But then again in Revelation 21:7, it says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And the NIV says all these things, referring to back a couple of verses where it says, behold, I make all things new. So according to Ephesians 1:10, it is God's intention to make Jesus Christ the center and the circumference of everything in the creation. Everything in the creation. And whoever chooses to be an overcomer, a victorious saint, will inherit all this. It's not a case of giving it to you. It's a case of you're inheriting it because you are a son of God. Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit all these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So there's great rewards out there for you if you want to be a victor. Now, here's one of the burdens this morning, a prime burden. It's a number starting with chapter 32, verse 1. If we can turn to that, Numbers 32, verse 1. And here's something that is a burden for us here in this church today, and I'm sure for many of God's people throughout the world. Now, the picture is this. The Israelites had gone through the wilderness. They'd spent 40 years there, mostly going in circles until all the men of war died because God was not pleased that they had refused to enter in the first time. And so they wandered around until they were all dead in their survival mode. Now, they're all spread out on the east bank of Jordan in the plains of Moab, which today is would be what, Eddie? Jordan and Saudi Arabia. They're all spread out there. The land of Og, king of Bashan, and Sihon, the king of the Amorites, they're all there on the east bank of Jordan. They have not gone into what God told them, into the land. Now, God had in mind in the future to take Jerusalem from the Jebusites, establish his temple there. All the worship, all the glory, the priesthood, everything would at a later time be in Jerusalem. At this time, Jerusalem was occupied by the Jebusites. It wasn't taken from the Jebusites until the time of King David, later, hundreds of years later. But God saw that in the future. Now, you see, they weren't there yet. They weren't into that good land. The land east of Jordan, God said, is yours, but it's mostly desert. It's the Arabian desert, by and large. But it's the west side of Jordan, between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean. That is, many of us have been there. It's a well-watered land, very similar in temperature, weather, and so on to where we live here, and a very nice place, much different from the wilderness where they've been wandering. And God had that for them, but they'd never been there. They'd been too occupied with themselves and learning the law, learning the sacrifices, learning to follow their leadership, trusting God and everything else. Now they're ready to go where God told them in the first place, the land of milk and honey. And that's where we are as a church. We're spread out on this east side of Jordan, ready to cross over. The first city that you hit is what? Jericho. See, Jericho's on the west side. They're ready to cross over Jordan now, and the first place they'll come to is Jericho. They haven't crossed as yet. First, they had to have a change of leadership. This is no place for a shepherd. This is a place for a commander-in-chief. This is war. We haven't been there. It's new to us. And so it constituted a problem, and it's a problem that many of us will have, and many of God's people will have throughout the world, especially those who have been Christians for some period of time, and especially those who are older. Because when you get older, you get tired. I know when I'm home, what, I took 2 weeks off to try to recover from this operation. I'm about 80% there, I'd say. My strength's coming back, thank God. The surgeon says, you're out of here, I don't need to see you again. So, praise the Lord. But that laziness, you know, boy, that can get to you. You know, you could live with that, not doing anything, having any responsibility. But that's the retirement syndrome. And the reason I talk so much about retirement is because it militates against what God's doing. The idea of it. It's not the idea of working for a factory, say, until you put in your time to get your retirement. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just our economic system. But it's the mental attitude. See, it's the mental attitude that's the problem. You cannot retire. You cannot retire from God. There's no place at which you stop and say, and this is what happened in this chapter, there are people here that are ready to stop. And you can't do that. There's no time. You say, well, how long do you go? You go as long as you breathe. Because we're not there yet. The church is not there yet. How in the world can you stop? The minute you do, the currents are so strong. The spiritual currents are so strong. That the moment that you adopt that idea, well, I'm saved and I've spoken in tongues and now I'm retired and it's time for the barbecue. It's time to, you know, whatever. That's when the enemy will get you. Write it down. The currents are violent. And the kingdom has to be taken by people who are vehement, who are determined. Because you see, Israel had not faced the enemy to this point. Oh, they had little skirmishes there with Sihon and Og, as I said, and some with the Amalekites. But nothing like when they were going into Canaan. Those people had been there for centuries. They'd been there since the time of Abraham, 400 years previously. God spoke to Abraham, said, 400 years I'm going to bring your people into this land. But the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. 400 years. That's longer than our country has been a nation. 400 years. God let go by before he was ready to have his tribes bring the law into those Amorites and kill those gods. God waited 400 years. Those people, they had been there for centuries, generation after generation. This was their land. And they were not about ready to hand it over to all these nice Jews coming in. They were not ready for that. And so the Israel was going to fight determined resistance. Fierce resistance. People fighting for their home. Now the devil considers these five things that I showed you. God's will and our personal transformation, the earth and all around, he considers that his territory. The minute you cease doing the devil's will and trying to do God's will, you are in trouble. Because he will fight you. He considers this earth his possession. And he's had control of it for how long? As long as there's been wars. God destroyed the earth in the days of Noah because of the violence. That comes from Satan. That's his nature. Lloyd was showing me a magazine that he's got. You ought to read. I had no idea of the viciousness of this abortion thing and what goes on that we don't even know about because of the political suppression on it. It's terrible. It's beyond belief. I asked the Lord one time, I said, how evil are things? He said, they're far worse than you know. That is Satan. He regards this earth as his. He's not going to give it to you. Unless you're willing to fight. You're not there yet. We're barely out of our survival strugglings. Trying to forgive people. Trying to get rid of roots of bitterness. Trying to decide if we like the pastor. Trying to decide if we should criticize. Trying to decide if we should gossip. We're still in a survival mode. But things are different now. The Reubenites and Gadites who had very large herds and flocks. Where did they get them? They got them because they took them from the Amorites and Og and Sihon. And they had large herds and flocks. Any of you been around cows very much? They stink. Ugh. And they're not all that intelligent. But they're nice. You know, the mooleys are nice. They make good pets. Saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. Now, they were looking at land east of the Jordan. Not west, where their goal was. East. So they came to Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and to the leaders of the community and said, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elealeth, Sebam, Nebo, and Beon. These are all east of the Jordan. East, not in the land where they were going. The land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel. See, they'd overcome Sihon and Og, are suitable for livestock, and your servants have livestock. If we have found favor in your eyes, they said, let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan. We've come this far. We've been saved. We've been filled with the Spirit. We go to a nice church. Don't talk to us about fighting. If you're still in a survival mode and you're grappling with problems, and I sympathize, that's why we have Diane. We're sympathetic to people that have had severe psychological problems. We're not about to run over your back and say you're no good. If you have them, you have them. That's all there is. You can't talk to people about discipleship when they got a broken leg. It's just not in the cards. But all I say to you, all I'm saying this morning will only be an irritation because you're not there yet. But some are, and you're ready to go on. And so you can receive it, and the rest will as time goes on. So it would seem much better if he would get off my back. He's all the time talking about retirement. What in the world? I worked all these years. I want to retire. Does anybody care if I retire? Do they mind if I retire? See, the young people don't think like that. They're not in that. They're ready to go. They're not all saddled with a big mortgage and worried about their bills and everything and raising kids and making sure there's enough toys in the house and everything else and everybody's got their vaccinations and whatever else they're worried about. They're still in a survival mode. We've got to have a generation of people that have got that under control and are ready to go on with God. Can you say amen? All right. Well, that's where these people were. They said, we don't want to go across the Jordan. We got all our moolies are here and the cows are calving and we got room here. And so what's this about going across Jordan? We don't know nothing about that. We've got everything we want right here. Is that you? Are you where you want to be? Have you made it? Let's see what God's attitude was toward this. Don't make us cross the Jordan. Man, you put us in danger of our lives. And their wives were saying, I don't want you to go. You stay here. Let those other people go they want to. Look, what do we got? We got everything here. We got our cows. And maybe chickens, I don't say anything about them. They go along with cows and pigs and sheep and goats and camels and donkeys. And we got it all here. So you're going to go across there and all those people are armed to the teeth. You can sympathize with them, can't you? Moses was delighted with this. He said, oh, you guys are cool. You've really got your act together. It's too bad all the rest of us don't feel that way. Moses said to the Gadites and Reubenites, shall your countrymen go to war while you sit here? See, they weren't thinking in terms of war. Moses and the glory and the Shekinah that was on the tabernacle and the priests and all of this meant nothing to them. Just their cows. Boy, you can lose sight of the glory. That's the problem with being in America. We got too much stuff. And as Lisa said, it's treacherous. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Thinking about Ukraine and Russia. There's good people there. They have so little. If I were to talk to them like this, they wouldn't be nearly as bothered as Americans would be because they don't have anything to lose. What? There's something beyond this? Eating cabbage 3 times a day and not having enough cabbage? There's something beyond this? You know what, people? The word gospel means good news. And the good news is that the kingdom of God is coming to the earth. And the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ and those who are with him in victory coming to bring justice to the nations. Because they are our inheritance. This is good news to the Russians. Good news to Ukraine. Good news to the Africans. Good news, but it's not good news to us. We got Jesus, hold off for a while. We haven't even explored miniaturization and wireless technology yet. I mean, just give us another year. We'll have everything. Will be wireless, miniaturized. I've got a little... I bought a little digital tape recorder. It doesn't use tapes. It's a little thing, but it's got a clip on it like a fountain pen. Because I get stuff in the middle of the night and I hate to crawl out of bed and write it down. No, I got a little thing. I just pick it up, click, and I speak into it, and click, go back to sleep. It's digital. Little thing like that. Oh, 2 hours. It's unbelievable what they come up with. I got a clock, too. It projects onto the ceiling. I lay on my back and I watch it. That clock is not a clock. It's a receiver, and the broadcast comes out of the atomic clock near Boulder, Colorado. It's so accurate that it doesn't lose or gain a second in 20 million years. And I don't know who in the world sat and watched that thing for 20 million years, but that's what they say. It does not lose or gain a second in 20 million years. And I'm sitting looking at that thing on the ceiling. Isn't that marvelous? Think of that. Woo! More toys. And more toys on the way. Ah, it's wonderful. Except that it's deceitful. And we forget about the situation and people in Afghanistan right now when it's so cold, living in caves and eating grass. I don't think about that. But God sees them. How many know that God sees those children over there? Do you know that? So, projection clock? Great. Digital recorder? Great. But how about those kids in Afghanistan? So maybe we better defer our toys and our hobbies until all of the land is occupied. Maybe we need to go to war. Maybe we're comfortable. So forget about the others. Who cares? Oh, you know, they die by the millions. You know, what's a few million kids? What's a few million older people freezing to death in a cave in Afghanistan? Why do we get bothered about that? When we can go out and get steak and bar. No, we'd have a tailgate party. That's what I have, a tailgate party, everybody. We won't drink beer, of course, because that's not right. That's not Christian. But we will have a tailgate party, and we might throw a few bets on the game. Why don't we enjoy ourselves while the kids in Afghanistan are starving to death? Let us stay on this side of Jordan. Let's take advantage of what we got. Is God going to hold us responsible for those children? I wonder. Shall your countrymen go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from going over into the land the Lord has given them? Do you know, I've seen this, and you have too. Each one of us either weakens or strengthens the hands of the men of war by our talk, by our actions. And when other people see you and you figure, well, you know, Thompson's always like, he's always running them. He's probably got a mental problem of some kind. Probably the way he was raised. He's probably frustrated in some way. And other people hear that. So you think, well, you know, maybe that's right. After all, it is an effort. And I've gotten on pretty well. It's comfortable. The rent's going to be paid next month. And there's enough food on the table. And things seem reasonably under control. Well, why don't I just relax a little? I don't need a nut yelling at me. Well, Then you see someone who says, no, I'm pressing on, I'm going to follow. Say, that sounds right to me. That's what I'm going to do. Whatever you do, don't go home and criticize what goes on in the church, because everyone around you hits that poison. And you weaken the hands of the men of war. If you don't want to keep yourself right for God, remember that you are influencing people around you to be intense for the Lord, or, you know, if it happens, it happens. That's called lukewarm. Why do you discourage the Israelites? Why are you acting like that? These people don't want to go to war any more than you do. They'd like to be comfortable too. And they see you and you're all spread out here with your cows. You're discouraging them. We discourage people when we're not intense for the Lord. We weaken the hands of other people. They figure, well, you know, it's probably okay. God knows it's hard enough to fight against the whatever it is on America, this great blanket of apathy, hard enough to fight against it without having somebody next to you acting like, well, you know. This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. After they went up to the valley of Eshkol and viewed the land, they discouraged the Israelites from entering the land. Well, they were all boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Oh, there's giants there. Oh, there are 7'8" people there. We're on our side as grasshoppers. It's terrible. We'll never make it. The Lord's anger was aroused that day, and he swore this oath, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly. Followed me wholeheartedly. Are you doing that today? Are you following the Lord wholeheartedly? Or have you got one foot in the world? Not one of the men 20 years old or more who came up out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not one, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. I say intensely, vehemently, wholeheartedly. The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the desert 40 years. Notice, it was not because they were committing adultery or lying or stealing or swearing. Their sin was they were not following the Lord wholeheartedly. That's a sin. The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the desert 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone. And their sin was going up and saying, we can't possess the land. They're too much for us. That was their sin. And here you are, a brood of sinners, standing in the place of your fathers and making the Lord even more angry with Israel. If you turn away from following him, he will again leave all this people in the desert, and you will be the cause of their destruction. Then they came up to him and said, we would like to build pens and so on, blah, blah, go on there. We will not return. Then they said they'd go over and fight, which they did. They had to fight anyway. And in verse, 26, I think, Moses said to them, if you will do this, verse 20, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for battle, and if all of you will go armed over the Jordan before the Lord, until he has driven his enemies out before him, then when the land is subdued before the Lord, you may return and be free from your obligation to the Lord and to Israel, and this land will be your possession before the Lord. But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, sinning by not going into battle, sinning by not being wholehearted. You may be sure that your sin will find you out. How many have ever heard that stated, be sure your sin will find you out? Did you ever hear anybody say that? Yeah, people say that from time to time. This is the setting of that. The sin was being willing to settle for as far as you had gone and resting. That was the sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. All right, let's look at those five things of the land so you can see what you're supposed to be pressing toward. First one was untroubled rest in God's person and will. Say that with me, if you will, please. Untroubled rest in God's person and will. How many of the young people have that memorized already? Vi, you got that one? Handle? Untroubled rest. Come on, Vi, let's go. You got a brain, you're smart. I've seen it in action. Come on, Bobby. Let's go. Untroubled rest in God's person and will. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Listen, it must be a big deal. When I was first saved and started out in churches, people were telling me, you can't do God's will. Nobody does God's will. You're saved by grace. It's so great. The world is waiting to see somebody do God's will. Well, I want you to know, if you're not doing God's will, you're a rebel. There's no middle ground. Either you're doing it or you're not. If you tell your child to go upstairs and go to bed at 8 o'clock and they don't go up till 11, was that your permissive will? Your will wasn't to go up and get there at 8 o'clock. And if they don't do it, they're rebelling against your will. Isn't that correct? All right, well then you say, well, how's this the land of promise? This is the rest of God. You have to fight like 60 to get in here. Everything in your personality and environment are working against this. They're pulling you off. And there's this motivation, that motivation. There's your self-will you're dealing with and the sins of your personality, plus the constant barrage of the media, the newspaper, the television, the rest. None of this is God's will. This isn't bringing you into God's will. You have to pray. You have to present your body a living sacrifice. It's hard. It's a fight. And Satan has it occupied. That's why people told me when I got out of the Marine Corps, nobody does God's will perfectly. It can't be done. That's what I was told. Well, it's not true. The reason we say that is because the devil is holding on to that thing. He says, as long, this is what the devil says. I'm going to quote the devil now. Get ready. I'm quoting the devil. As long as you are in this world, you have to sin. How many have ever heard that? Huh? Nobody? Three or four people? As long as you're in this world. You heard that, Colleen? Yeah, I know Colleen has heard that. As long as you're in this world, you have to sin. That's the devil. There's no Bible for that. There's Bible that says the opposite. Oh, well, all sin and come short of the glory of God. I know that. That's not talking to someone who's living a victorious Christian life. Romans 8:12, your debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Isn't that a nice, that's Satan's preachment. As long as you're in this world, you have to sin. That's the devil. When anybody says that to you, just tell them, would you quit telling me what the devil says? I don't have to sin. Are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect. I haven't been perfected, but I have no known sin in my life. Do you have known sin in your life? Are you doing something that you know is sinful? If you are, don't you go out of this church until you get down and confess it and ask God to help you. If you're doing something and you know it's sinful, don't you leave this church until you have confessed it to God, gotten forgiveness for it, and victory over it. And if you need prayer, there's people here who will pray with you and help you with it. It is never God's will for a Christian to walk in known sin. Never, never, never. If you do, it's your own choice. You're choosing to sin against God. Now, I know we haven't heard that before, but you're hearing it now. Because you can't say you never heard that, because you just heard it.
Oh, hallelujah.
I love to preach about the victorious life because people have been told the opposite for so long. They've come to believe it, but they don't read their Bibles. Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans 6. Sin shall not have dominion over you. If you let it have dominion over you, you're just a patsy. You're just taking something that you don't need to have. Untroubled rest in God's personal will. And you can have it right now this morning if that's what you want. But you're going to have to fight to maintain it. Because this afternoon there'll be something trying to take you out of it. It's a fight. This is the land. This is not a survival thing. This is what God, where He wants you. God's problem is He has a rebellious creation. And He wants saints who will break that thing. That's the kingdom of God, doing His will in the earth. Not in heaven, in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Is that what the Bible says? Huh? Is that what the Bible says? Anybody? Are you sure? Where does it say that? Huh? Sandy's pointing over at the, Tim is pointing over there at the Lord's Prayer. Yes, it's in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth. Well, don't pray it if you don't intend to do it.
Oh, Lord.
Preachers have more fun than anybody. Did you get that one by? Come on, you got a hold of that? Is that memorized yet? Secondly, change in our personality. You have to be changed. Changed. We all hate change. We like ourselves as we are. I've got to be me. That's another one of the devil's sayings. I've got to be me. And I am put under there, but I don't want to accent these three this morning. I don't want it to be so complicated. You've got to get the worldliness, lust, and self-will out. God will help with that, with your resolution. Christ will be formed in you as you walk before Him. And finally, you'll be filled with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is the most marvelous, marvelous thing, to be filled with the fullness of God. Can you imagine anything like that? Whoa! Does the Bible promise in Ephesians 3 that you might be filled with all the fullness of God? It's there for the taking. The devil will fight you tooth and nail because he wants to live in you. Satan wants to live in you. When he can't find a place in you to live, he goes through dry places. He'll fight you on that thing. You've got to be determined. You've got to have a heart for war. Thirdly, transformation of our body. We don't think nearly enough about that. That's the centerpiece of redemption. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and who believes in Him should not perish. It's talking about the body. It's the body that perishes, but have everlasting life. The transformation of our body. I'm old. Now, they went and took out my gallbladder. Now, I've had this thing for 78 years. And I plan on asking them to save it for me, because for a spare, you know, in case I need it again. But I was so groggy when I come out from under the anesthesia, I forgot about it. Oh, I'm telling you. I'm ready for a new body with a new gallbladder. It helps your digestion. Yeah, it does. I said, you won't even notice it. Well, okay, all right. But I don't know. I get nervous about that. If God didn't want you to have a gallbladder, why in the world He'd make it? Well, they said it'd be worse if you don't have it taken out. Well, I've had 2 attacks. I don't want any more. Thank you very much. A pain about up to 9.5 that lasted for 4 hours, I can do without that. Thank you kindly. So, it's got to go, it's got to go. But I could have saved it. At least I could have measured it and told Bob Porcelli, he likes data. Says how much you weighed and everything. So I don't know. I couldn't notice the difference on the scale, so I couldn't have weighed very much. But I'm ready for a new one. Hallelujah. What about? Just as long as it works. I don't want to be tired all the time. How many here want to be tired all the time? It's bad enough at the end of the day, but when you start off the day that way, that is not good. All right. All you young people, rejoice in your energy. Our flesh and bones will be raised from the dead and then clothed with the house from heaven, provided the inward, you've got to get it right on the inside before you can talk about resurrection. God is not going to put a resurrection body on an inward nature that has not been resurrected. Fourthly, inheriting the nations in the farthest reaches of the earth. Well, that doesn't mean anything too much unless you really like nature. I know Alex the Marine, I said, would you rather die and go to heaven or be down farming? He said, I'd rather be down farming. Well, I can understand that. He likes the woods. I like the woods. I can understand that. The farthest reaches of the earth. That's promised to us now. The nations, who cares about the great unwashed? Well, we don't until God touches you for some race or country or people. And then you'll see that that's the greatest inheritance of all. Oh, Lord, but that's a gift. Wouldn't hurt to pray for it and say, Lord, I'd like to be touched for somebody. He'll do that. But you've got to grow up, you know. You don't bear fruit when you're a kid. We've got to get spiritual kids. Tell them to go out and bear fruit. You bear fruit when you're mature. Does that make sense? Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the way it works. So when you get mature in the Lord, the next thing, he'll burden you for somebody or some race of people or some country or some, then you'll see, yeah, that's the inheritance. And finally, inheriting all that God makes new in Christ. It says, I make all things new in Revelation 21, which means he brings everything down into the crucifixion of Christ, and then he raises it up again in Christ. The whole creation. I don't know about the angels. I don't think so. I know they're ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Just people, I guess. But he's going to make nature new. There will be a new sky and a new earth. All will reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, everything. And if you choose to be a victorious saint and press forward in these days, it's all yours. It's all yours. So don't get bemused with projection clocks or digital recorders. They're fun, they're toys, but we can't sit here on this side of Jordan when the rest of the world is in the shape it's in. Do you agree with me? That's why we're going to war, not for our own sake primarily, but because God, for his sake and for the sake of his creatures, who will never know justice or freedom from war and rape and abortion and graft and thievery and corruption, they'll never know that till there's a change of government and the rulers are being made today. And you can be one, but it will take everything you've got as a person. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. While Stan's taking care of the music, let me put this out to you. I don't know everyone here. I know most of you, but I don't know any of your hearts. If you have something that's been plaguing you, you're still in a survival mode, you're grappling with it, and you're doing something, you believe it's sinful, you're not sure, I want you to come up to the altar right now. Would you please do that? Come up and get that thing handled with God. Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he'll do that this morning. Whatever you do, don't go out there with some sin in your life that you are still doing and haven't taken care of with God. There's going to be drunks on the highway today. There's going to be people abandoned. I notice in the paper it says, it's time to party. I looked at that and I shuddered. It's time for us to party. And then you look at those people in Afghanistan and maybe all these Iraqi people that will be killed and gassed and everything else. It's time to party. Don't let that spirit touch you. Don't let it touch you! Because God is not interested in indolent, overfed, spiritually lazy American people partying when much of the world doesn't have enough to eat or clothing or warmth. or medical care. I know you're good people and you care about these things, and I do too. We can't feed all the hungry and we can't clothe all the naked, but we can press on until God is ready to return with a righteous government. So if there's something that's not quite right, will you come up and get it? We don't have forever. God has spoken to us clearly this morning. Do you agree to that? With our prophecies and all, and the word that God has given, He's spoken to us very clearly. So we know. We know. And we want God's approval on our lives.